Take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Revelation. We continue the study out of the sixth chapter. As we did in Sunday school there, it's been so long since we've been together that I will begin reading with the first verse and read down through the eighth verse. And so we'll cover the first, second, third, and fourth seal this morning, or attempt to anyway. And so beginning to read with Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and wine.' When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And the power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. You have given us much instruction. You've given us the words of how to be saved, how to trust in you as our Savior and walk each day. You've made that so clear, and it's so simple. It's whosoever will. We just need to surrender to your will. And so please, dear Lord, that there not be anyone here today that has not come by faith to you. Because not only have you given us, Father, the means of salvation and how to be saved and how to trust in your Son that died on the cross, you make that so clear and so simple for us just to come. But also, Father, you give us the other side. We call it the dark side. The side of terrible trouble and tribulation. Stench of death, famine, and pestilence. Father, you don't hide this from us. You tell us the truth. You tell us not only what's available to us to be saved and avoid all this, but you also give us what's going to happen to those that refuse it. So please, just guide and lead us now through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We start with the white horse is the first one. And that white horse in studying, and so you can say, kind of see that it's an advantage and a disadvantage not to come together and have church, because the first week, which should have been 2 weeks ago, I would have presented this to you, but then I studied another week. Then I stayed another week. And so what that means is that we'll get out today about 2:30 by the time we finish with what I've studied. And so I'm sure glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you didn't know that before you came, because you may not have come. And so, no, you just, as you study and you find things, and I never saw this before with the white horse. The white horse is the one that comes and seems to bring peace. And we've talked about that, how that it seems to bring peace. And one man called it and said it's like the Cold War. We had a Cold War between the U.S. and Russia. The Cold War. Well, what's the Cold War mean? The Cold War means that we hate each other, but we're not willing to fight. We're not willing to raise our arms up and kill each other yet, but we sure don't like each other, and we sure don't trust each other. There's propaganda that's spread from this side and from that side concerning things that's going on. It's the way it was and is today. You can't believe a thing that you hear. But we sure don't have a love for what Russia is and stands for, and they sure don't have a love for us. They hate us and they despise us. Well, that's exactly what's going to take place when this white horse comes out. We say, and it's somewhat misleading, because we say that he brings peace. And if you'll notice, he has a bow and no arrow. And so he's going to bring peace. But it's not going to be through the love of Christ. He's going to bring peace by his diplomatic means. And those diplomatic means will mean that he can come in quietly and secretly with very little bloodshed and take you over. And he'll take you over. And he'll control you. And as we've said many times before, that by the time we get to the tribulation period, there is no suggestion of the United States of America. We are the world power today. How can the world power today disappear by the time this takes place? Well, one way is the hand of God's judgment coming down upon us for the babies we've murdered and the lifestyle that is had today. And so when we see these things, and when we go back, and we're going to be back in Lamentations here by the time we get down to the famine and the pale horse, the third and the fourth seal, we're going to go back into Lamentations, and we're going to see what happened to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, when they turned their back on him. And so now we have here this white horse, the rider upon the white horse, coming about and making peace. And the world is happy because there's no wars. But it's sure not real peace. It's not a peace that people has a love for each other. It's not a peace that we have a desire to help each other. It's a peace that is brought about by control without raising the sword at this point. Now, what do we have next? As we look at the next one here in verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. That's not hard to accomplish, because the peace that was present was a lie. There was no truth to it. He was controlling it. He was holding it down by his power and authority. We see that today in Congress. We see one side of Congress can't move because the leadership says, you're not going to do this. They're not happy about it, but they do not move. And it's the same thing here. It's the same situation here. They're not about to move out from under this. Well, then the second seal is opened. And now a better picture of this ruler, this leader is coming. But I want you to see when we look at that that second seal, I want you to see the power was given. That power was not given by Satan to this writer. That power was given from our God. God gave Nebuchadnezzar, as Sue said in Sunday school this morning, God gave power to Nebuchadnezzar to come in and destroy the nation of Israel and take Judah and Israel back into captivity for 70 years. Why would God ever do that? He did that because of the wickedness of the nation. Why do you think that the nation, the United States of America, does not exist during this time that we're reading about here in Revelation concerning the tribulation? It's because we will become so wicked that God will raise up another power to take us over. Will that be Russia, or will that be China, or who will that be? We don't know who that is. But there will be one that's be raised up and take us down. And he's going to take us down because of our pride and because of our arrogance and because of our lack of desire for life that's given. So here comes the red horse. And so as this red horse comes, peace will leave the earth. And it's a great sword, the scripture tells us here in the end of verse 4. And there was given unto him a great sword, and they shall kill one another. He has the power to kill one another. And there'll be a passion, there'll be a desire in the heart to kill each other. We see that today, and we look at it, and we think, oh, it was drug-related. Sometimes that's the case, but many times it is a wicked heart. And what comes with this red horse and the rider upon it, it brings to truth what is going on. And there's going to be a sword, and there's going to be such bloodshed. We spoke a couple of weeks ago concerning the Civil War and how that it became a hatred between brother, hated brother, and father hated son, and they fought against each other. One was on the south, one was on the north. Well, it's going to be the same level of hatred, only multiplied 1,000 times, that mother against daughter, mother against son, the natural mind and thought are going to be gone, and they're going to desire to kill each other. That's going to be the one. Now, don't you want to reject Christ and go into this time? Because you see, we say that the United States today is the most powerful nation. So you think, how can we fall quickly? Every single thing is in place for this to happen. There's not one thing that needs to happen for the tribulation to start. The absence of the church, the rapture, is the next event to take place. If you're a born-again believer, you will be taken up from this earth and will not have to see any of this. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will walk right into this tribulation period. You'll walk right into this time, and you will be a witness to what's going on here and be a part of it. The bloodshed, the deception, the lies, all the things that's going to go on during this time. Well, there's only one reason that God has shown grace to the United States of America, and that is because of the presence of the church and believers. And they're becoming fewer every day. So almost in a blink of an eye, this country will fall when the church is gone. It may fall before that. But when the church is gone, and the witness that's gone concerning the witness of Jesus Christ here in this country, when that day is gone, when the church is gone, it's over. It's over. And so I can see very quickly how this country will fall. It may fall almost the moment that the church is raptured. And we're seeing it today, all the things that are taking place. So we have all these things. It's impossible for us to understand the bloodshed that's going to be, the vengeance that's going to be lifted up against each other. And then we come to the third seal, famine. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "Measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Come and see. The white horse was bringing power and victory without bloodshed. There was no arrow for his bow. The red horse brought great bloodshed. It was just, all it had to do was just a turn of one event, and all of a sudden the hatred that had been built up nation against nation had come to full light, and they just despised and hated each other, begin to kill each other. And so we find that, and now here comes the black horse. Lamentations and mourning that follows. Let me go back now, and in Sunday school class, I had you find the book of Lamentations. I want you to go back to Lamentations, and if you'll find Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then you'll find Lamentations. If you went to Ezekiel and Daniel, you're just a little bit too far, because the book of Lamentations is not a big book. But I want you to turn there with me to Lamentations. And you'll see it says the Lamentations of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah tells all the time of what's going to happen to the nation of Israel if they don't repent. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he gave all this time and all these words all the time. And it was words that God had given him to give to the people. And he was hated and he was despised. There is no record of one individual being saved during Jeremiah's preaching. The captivity started in the year 606. And that's the 70 years upon their return. Here, if you'll, in your Bible you have it, you'll notice it's 588. So some have, the captivity went in stages. So it's said to begin the 70 years at 606. And so the book of Jeremiah is a plea to repent before the event. The book of Lamentations is a result of the event. In other words, they've already been taken. And so let's look now at Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10. Here's the condition of starvation. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. That's what happened. This isn't a prophecy of what's coming. This is what happened when God's wrath came down upon the nation of Israel and they went into captivity. Those that stayed and those that were in captivity, but it's speaking of the result, because you see, Jeremiah didn't go into captivity. He stayed back and he saw the result. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Hold on to Lamentations there, because we're going to be back there. So put something in there so you can kind of mark it. You won't have to find it in a minute, because we will return. Now the black horse had a balance, had a scales in his hand. Wheat and barley are the two grains that were most prevalent. and they were the stable, you would call them. And they were about to be rationed out at a very high price. We find some countries today that it costs literally thousands of dollars to buy a loaf of bread if you could buy a loaf of bread. And so you can find that in Venezuela and countries like that, that it's their inflation. Today you would go and take a dollar to buy something, you go back tomorrow and it cost you $1,000. That's how fast the inflation is so out of control. And so we can see here that this is an example of what that is. And we find that it is a godless country. And so when you find a godless country, then that's the result of what you have. This black horse, the balance is in his hand, the wheat and the barley. And so we find that barley produces black bread, and it's eaten only by the slaves and the very, very poor. That's what barley was used for. And then the white bread, it was much more expensive than the black bread, the barley bread. A penny, to give us an example here, and you've probably heard this before, but a penny was a day's wage for a worker or for a soldier. A penny was a day's wage. In Matthew chapter 20, 8 measures of wheat for a penny. So you could get whatever that measure, that weight was, you could get 8 of those for one penny. Right here it says 1 measure for a penny. So it is, inflation is 8 times what it is here in Matthew. We also have some examples of this famine that is held during the time of the captivity. So go back with me to Lamentations once again. Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 4. This is the condition that was brought about because of the disobedience of the nation of Israel. And God handed out his wrath upon these people. It's coming. It'll be the same way, only worse in the tribulation period. Verse 4. The tongue of a sucking child cleaveth to the roof as his mouth for thirst. The young child asked bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up a scarlet embrace dunghills. And so those that were wealthy now are very, very poor. Look to Lamentations chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Mine eyes did fail with tears, my bowels are troubled, my liver is poured upon the earth. For the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mother, where is the corn and wine? When they swooned, and that's fainted, as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. Verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands towards him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger at the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the woman eat their fruit, and the children of a span long? Shall the priests and the prophets be slain in the sanctuary for the Lord? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the days of thy anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied. And so as we look at what is taking place here with the condition that was with the captivity of the nation of Israel for 70 years. And that's no comparison of what's going to take place during the tribulation with this famine. It did say, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine." At this time, the very, very rich will not be affected by this. And most of the time, we'll say the very rich and the government officials, because they will also be the very rich. At this time, they will not be affected. The fourth seal, verse 7. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death in Hell, followed with him. The power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth." Look at what's coming in that fourth. The fourth beast, come and see, it's a pale. The rider of it was named, and that name is Death. But Hell rode alongside. So we have death and we have hell. We have a physical death and we have a spiritual death. We have death bringing the one to the eternal damnation, to hell. Judgment is increasing in severity. The three seals that was lifted before did not name the rider. We know that it was a rider of the white horse, a rider of the red horse, a rider of the black horse, and now we have a rider of the pale horse, but he is named, and his name is Death, and again, hell follows alongside. It's not two different riders. It's not death and then hell comes. One is with the other. One is following. One is riding side by side, literally, with him. It said that death and hell are the keepers, the custodians of the bodies and souls of the men butchered during this terrible time. It's physical and it's spiritual. The devil will kill the body and send it to hell. We know at the close of the thousand-year reign of Christ that death and hell will give up there and be placed into prison. They themselves will be cast into the lake of fire where they are kept. We know, according to verse 8, as it said before, and power was given. Understand that this isn't something that the devil is bringing this, but God is giving the power to do it. Why would God see fit to do that? We talked this morning in Sunday school in the book of Joshua on the radio this morning. There were several cities and areas that were to be destroyed, and destroyed completely. Kill the children, kill the parents, kill mom and dad, kill everybody, and many times even tear down the city. There was so much evidence there of the idol worship that they had to literally destroy. They couldn't even leave any of the houses because they were filled with statues and all the things that they worshiped. Well, the reason that God chose to give the power to Joshua and to the people to do such destruction was because of their wickedness. Why are we seeing such destruction here? It's because these people are wicked. They have left. Now, we know a lot of people that are, we call them good people. But if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still carrying your sin with you. And if you carry your sin with you, then you are responsible for that sin. Let Jesus be the one that takes care of that sin. He died on the cross for you. Let him take that sin. But if you choose not to, then you're responsible for it. And if the church would be raptured today, we'll walk right into this time. And you'll be present. The authority to kill and destroy was not his, but it was given unto him. Death deals with the living, hell deals with the soul at death. So death, by which they are carried off, is most prominently represented, and hell followed along with the death to receive those that were cut off. So, as has been stated, under the last three seals, one judgment under each. But this seal has four: the sword, famine, the beast, pestilence. That's listed in Ezekiel 14:21. Not much different here. The sword, hunger, death, and the beast. So what was prophesied in Ezekiel 14:21 is much the same. That word death here is also translated pestilence. So the first seal, he seemed to bring peace. Second seal, bloody sword, was drawn out, and until his task was finished, he continued to slaughter. Then hunger came, the third seal. It will not be taken away until that work is complete. Pestilence. Pestilence. It will come, and then the beast will come and finish what's come to do. As we think of the beast, and we'll end with this and begin next week and follow with it, but many people think of the bear and the lion and all those. But it was something that a couple different commentaries says not going to be anything that big. Don't take the power away from the rat. That's right. The rat. So that it can be completely annihilated. 100% annihilated in a certain area. And with 1 year, the population is increased twofold. What do rats feed on? Anything and everything. They carry, trying to think how many diseases, multiple diseases. I don't see my notes. Multiple diseases. 35. A rat carries 35 different diseases. Let's look back to the rapture. Those that are raptured will be the working class, many of them the farmers. No farmers, no food. The red horse comes. We're going to take our plowshares and we're going to beat them into guns to defend ourselves. No farmers, no food. Starvation. Power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death and with the beast. Look back through history. China. Many of the, what we would call at that time, kind of a backward nation. Millions have died from rat infestations. Bubonic plague. Different, many things are carried by these rats. I had a, and if you think that, you know, they're not present here, then you're blind. I do a lot of work in grain elevators. And you just cannot kill them. There's too much to eat. Up at La Harpe many years ago, the grain elevator decided they were going to take care of it. They closed it down. They took the electricity away. And they come in with anhydrous. And they pumped anhydrous into all those loader bowels, that thing. They'll never do that again. You couldn't stand the whole town for a month for the stink of death of those rats. There were so many. I made friends with one that was that big without his tail. He kept up and talked to me all the time when I was working on a motor. Big, big. Worked on a grain dryer. Opened the thing up. Had to go down inside the little cavity there to change a spark plug on the burner. I looked in there, and you couldn't see the floor. It was just full of rats. And the farmer said, "I'm sorry, Larry." He said, I've done everything. He said, "I just can't kill them." And I mean thousands of them. They weren't very big, about that big. I said, "I've never said no, but I'm saying I'm not going down in there." And he said, "I don't blame you." He went and got some twine string and he tied his pant leg shut. He climbed down in there and them rats were just climbing over his feet and over his legs, and he's all the time in his mind, "I hate rats. I hate rats." You could hear it under his breath. And he took care of it. But they're everywhere. And they survive through unbelievable weather conditions. I mean, there's nothing that kills them. So I'm not sure. So I hope that your sin frightens you enough that you'll accept the free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your sin doesn't, I hope these rats do. Something has got to turn us away to trust in Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come today. Thank you for these folks that have come out on this cold day to hear your precious word, to fellowship together. Please, please just speak to all of our hearts now. It's a joy, Father, to come and to enjoy your presence. Thank you, Father, for your sweet presence today as your Spirit came to be with us. I ask that you touch every heart and don't let anyone leave here without knowing you as their Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.